Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebbe.
Let's go, let's get it on! Oh, Peters!
Oh, got a fight. Thornton and Rebbe are exchanging punches.
Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
There isn't a happier man than the man right next to me. He has not cut the cord from the Montreal Canadiens just yet or the San Jose Sharks. They're in town. Saw the old media buddies, eh, River, in the Tim Hortons, as they would call it there in Quebec.
Yeah,
morning,
Tim
Marty.
Horton.
Marty's back game day from the KeyBank Center. Go ahead,
Riff. Say what you have to say about your friends.
You know what? Listen, I'm not going to lie. I hated every single one of them. But now that I'm done, 9 years later, they're actually pretty nice guys. Sat down and had a great conversation with a few of them.
So,
and,
where did the problem lie? Was it you or them?
I would say probably a bit of both. You know, that is an extremely, extremely difficult market to play in. I would say without question the toughest in the league by far, just because of the language barrier and, you know, the amount of media that's there in Montreal covering that team is extreme. It is big time. And you know what? I mean, I would absolutely 100%. I had some ups. And certainly a lot of downs with my time playing there and all those years, but I absolutely would not change anything for the world. I thought it was an amazing part of my life.
What's the saying? Absence makes the heart grow fonder? Is that how you say it?
Speaking of language barrier, let's bring in Marty Perron.
Say it. Can you please say it?
What?
Can you please say?
I have no idea what you're trying to say right now, Marty. I'm trying to focus on a game tonight.
Whatever.
I believe it's absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Okay, is that what it is?
It is.
Okay, good. That's what I said. So, Rivs, you've been like gone from Montreal for what now? Your last year in Montreal
I was traded in 2007, I think.
So
yeah.
12 years.
Yeah.
It kind of repairs a lot of the broken relationship with the media and the fact that you don't see them twice a day, every day for a whole hockey season.
Yeah.
It's a big difference right there.
Yeah.
They don't follow you to your house and try to find out where you live and, you know, what you eat for breakfast. And
I mean, it's a different world. It is certainly a different world. I remember, here's the problem with what happens when you play there. Is, you know, you are walking down St. Catherine Street on a beautiful day, going to catch a movie with your wife, and you get stopped multiple times by fans, and you know they're very nice. And then all of a sudden, the conversation gets in. Why did you make that pass across the ice in the third period with 11:50 minutes?
And don't even remember the play, but they do.
They're critiquing your game, and it becomes a little overbearing. And then all of a sudden, you know, through years of this, you start to kind of pull yourself back away from society and you stop going out, you stop going to movies, you stop going to eat in certain restaurants because you don't want to be, you know, bothered. And it becomes that, you know, as you kind of move forward there. But that being said, you know, a lot of incredible, incredible years in Montreal. It is one heck of a city.
It's awesome.
They are in town. John tweets, and you can tweet the show if you want to. He's at Marty Biron 43. The show is at The Instigators, at Craig Rivet 52. And John tweets me here at The Instigator 76, and he says, hey, boys, give me a shout-out. I'm stuck in jury duty. I'm sure you're going to come to a real verdict there if you're listening to the facts.
Just like hearing,
hey, yeah. Nice to see your attention to detail. That being said, attention to detail, Sabres tonight. We're at the KeyBank Center right now. Marty, what time is the game?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
6:30 pregame on MSG with me and Duffer.
There you go. That's what I was looking for.
For you.
What are those media members in Montreal going to write if the Canadians lose to the Sabres tonight, Riv? Because I tell you what, the Sabres coming back home, good record, 5 out of 6 points, 2 wins.
Just, you know, talking with a couple of the media members, they seem to be pretty happy right now. They seem to like what they have on their team. A lot of youth in their lineup that still is developing, just very much like the Buffalo Sabres lineup, you know. You know, I think they like what they see. You know, what they're saying to me is they need a few pieces. They need this, and they need a left-handed defenseman that's going to log big minutes to play with Shea Weber, and they need this guy in the forward line, and they need that. And I guess you could sit down and talk to every media member from every different team, and you're all going to be saying the same thing. Yes, we need little pieces here and there. But they asked, you know, about Buffalo. They said, hey, things are going pretty well here. Things are looking good. And I just said, listen, I mean, we're 3 games in, picked up 5 points in 6 out of 6. The team's played very well in 2 out of the 3 games. And we, as just like them, are a very young team that is going to continue to grow. And we want to grow from the first game of the year all the way to game 82. And I think that there's a lot of really good things that we see with our team so far. And it's going to be exciting.
Sherry's out, Marty. Oh, sorry, I was just going to tell
you. Sherry's out.
Sherry's out. Erod's going to come in.
He's going to play on the right side on that line. And, you know, I think there was a great article, I believe it was Buffalo News, talking about how Evan Rodriguez did not really see that coming, the fact that he was going to not play the first 3 games. And
or did anybody else.
Or did anybody else. You're right. But that's the way it goes. And Coach Kruger said, you know, Erod did, like, as good as you would expect from a guy that was disappointed to not play. It's a big year. It's the start of the season. You want to get going. So it's time for him to go back in. Obviously, Connor Sherry's a little banged up, so that opens up a spot. But I still think that Evan Rodriguez would be playing tonight, even if Connor Sherry would have been in the lineup.
I think if they would have went 3-0 and played exceptionally well in Columbus,
no,
then
no.
Would have changed the lineup?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying after the Columbus game, it wasn't that great a game.
Okay, gotcha.
That the time was now to insert Evan Rodriguez.
What happens if they would have played exceptionally well in Columbus
then
and went 3-0?
You wait
you're
your
not
time.
Changing
the
lineup.
No, you're not changing
unless
anything.
There's an injury. I mean,
yeah, unless there's an injury.
If they came back and won that game in Columbus and Connor Sherry couldn't play tonight, I mean,
No.
Then obviously
I'm talking about if he's healthy.
If he's healthy,
if he's healthy, if he stays healthy.
I thought after the Columbus game, not knowing, you know, that Connor Sherry wasn't going to be able to play against the Canadiens tonight, that Evan Rodriguez was going to be coming back in the lineup. I think there was a couple of players that you could say, okay, it's time to say, Erod, go see what you can do, and then, you know, you could have pulled a couple guys out of the lineup. But you don't have to now because Connor Sherry is injured, and you can put Erod in there,
well,
so that's a big thing.
When you insert a guy like Erod, I mean, we were all players, and I think it's safe to say that when you sign a contract like Erod did in the offseason, you expect and want to be in the opening night lineup. Now, granted, Sapoca played well enough to earn a spot in the lineup. Oposo played well enough to earn him a spot in the lineup. I mean, is Erod going to be a difference maker on the fourth line versus Oposo on the fourth line? Sherry earned a spot.
No. Erod wasn't going on the fourth.
That's
line.
What I mean. That's what I mean. So why put him there? So you know, Sherry earned a spot on the right side. Obviously, they see Erod starting right now on the right side. What you should see from Erod is all that, and I will say disappointment. It's good. You want a guy to want to play. You want a guy to want to be in the lineup. You want a guy to believe he's good enough to be in the lineup because now it's his chance to go out and show it. So you should expect a firecracker of a player tonight. I mean, fast, playing fast, making good
plays.
He's going
to be angry.
He's going
to be an angry, fiery young man.
And you could have added speed to that lineup the other night in Columbus, somebody with a little more juice and jam in their legs.
Yeah, and it's also a early in the season, a point for coaching staff and Ralph Kruger to see how do players react? How does Evan Rodriguez react? How does Vladimir Sobotka react? How does Jimmy Vesey react to certain things? Vesey was put on the line with Skinner and Marcus Johansson later in the game in Columbus. And so Casey Milstat did not see a lot of ice time because he was kind of caught in the in the rotation. So this is a good test. Coming home to a division rival, the Canadiens, and knowing that you have some internal battles, a new player coming into the lineup, this is an exciting time for Ralph Kruger to see how does everybody react and who's going to stand out out of the group.
What I like about it? It doesn't disrupt anything. It doesn't disrupt the Eichel line and Olofsson and Reinhardt. It's not going to disrupt the Johansson and Skinner and Sobotka. And people raise their eyebrows saying, why is Sobotka on that line? Well, you know what? He is helping with offensive zone draws because Johansson's not. He's been struggling a little bit with the draws. He's starting to kind. He hasn't played center for a number of years, right? So he's working on getting better at draws. But Sobotka is who has played center. Is taking key draws at certain situations for that line. Jimmy Vesey, Mittelstadt are in their same positions. And now you integrate Rodriguez, who's a very skilled. He's very fast. He's got the ability to play at both ends of the ice well. It's not disrupting anybody in this lineup. And this is a really good thing.
Could help Vesey too. And I say that from the standpoint of, I feel like Sherry is, you know, maybe a little bit more of a finisher around the net as we've seen. I don't know where he's at in terms of creative passing, like when it, you know, there are guys that stand out like Reinhardt, Jack, but Erod has some amazing passing ability, maybe some underrated passing ability, and we've seen that little fake sweep pass shot that, you know, that he makes. You're about to say something there, Marty.
No, the injury update to Connor Sherry is saying he'll be week to week with an upper body injury, so it's not one game. Okay. It just came through the wire. It's week to week. Now, I have a suggestion, and I want you guys to just tell me if I'm crazy or not. But I would see, and maybe even in this game tonight, there could be an easy change if Ralph Kruger finds that he needs a little bit more with the Johansson-Skinner line, is putting Evan Rodriguez on that line with his speed, with his offense. And I understand, Riz, what you're talking about, Marcus Johansson, and the fact that he hasn't played center. But Johansson's a left-handed shot. Okay, Vladimir Sobotka is a left-handed shot. Yep. So their strengths are going to be both on the same side of the ice, where Evan Rodriguez can play some center, can take draws, and he's a right-handed shot. So if you put Erod on the right side with Johansson and Skinner, and you say to Johansson, you take all the draws on the left side of the ice, and Erod, you take them on the right side, you're still protecting Marcus Johansson, and Erod's played some center.
Before Johansson was ever even considered a centerman on this team, Erod was our guy to be in
penciled in.
Yeah, it was a stretch, but I mean, with the gap that the team had, you're like, well, who could you use Erod there? But now Johansson fits. I like what you're thinking there. I mean, it can't hurt. It gives you a little more creativity and skill than Sobotka.
That's probably in Ralph Kruger's inside pocket, right? That little I'm going to pull.
I wouldn't change anything right now. You're bringing Rodriguez in. Sherry's out. Sherry played right. Rodriguez is going to play right. He's going to be on the third line. He's going to start there. Nothing is going to change on the first line, the second line, and the fourth line. And now you just go and play. If there needs to be some tinkering with a lineup, that's where your thoughts come in.
And I really believe that this is an in-game change that could happen. And I'm saying it could happen early because I don't have the sense that Ralph Kruger is going to be a very patient person. To the extent that you played a game in Columbus and the start of the game in Columbus was just awful. Passes were bad choices with the puck, managing the puck, controlling the play. It was just awful. If the Sabres were to start that way against the Canadiens, who, by the way, put over 40 shots on net against the Toronto Maple Leafs and battled back, they can play. The Canadiens can play. If the Sabres were to start the game by scrambling, no urgency, no execution on the ice, you have to say, okay, I'm making a change because I want to send that message right away. Like, don't feel too comfortable now. It did not play well in Columbus, and it's not starting well here against the Canadiens. I want you guys to be on your toes. I want you guys to be a little bit, wow, like something is changing. That coach is not just going to sit there with his arms crossed and be like, Next. Yep. No, you don't want that.
Listen, I mean, the Canadians have some pretty talented forwards. They're I believe, when you look at their team, they are three lines deep. The fourth line is somewhat of an okay line. It's nothing dangerous to me. I think that, you know, matchups are going to be very key when it comes to playing the Canadians. This, you know, Jack Eichel is going to be playing against a certain line. Johansson's line is going to be playing against a certain line. And I think Gergensen, Larson, and Oposo are going to garner that other matchup to shut down one of their top lines.
Yeah, and the one thing is, you look at their, as you pointed out, their lines. Jonathan Drouin for the Montreal Canadiens is playing kind of in a third line role right now. He is a guy that they acquired from the Tampa Bay Lightning to come in and give him maybe 65, 70 points a year, you know, 30 goals. And it's not worked the way that I think Marc Bergevin, the GM of the Canadiens, thought it was going to work. But he's playing on a third line. Why? Because now you're spreading your guys around. And you can add a Nick Suzuki on the second line, a young man that they got in the Pacioretty trade with the Vegas Golden Knights. And you say, okay, you can go on.
Who played exceptionally well in the preseason.
Oh, yeah, he was awesome. But so you're balancing your line. So now I'm asking you, is that like Casey Mittelstadt and Jimmy Vesey will have a bigger role in this game tonight because they may be paired against Joel Armia, Kotkaniemi, Drouin, or they may have to go against Byron, Nate Thompson, and Jordan Wheel, which is a heavier kind of working line, just like our Larson, Gergensen, or Postal line. So here's the reason why I'm a little worried about having VC, Mittelstadt, and Evan Rodriguez in his first game of the season together when you're playing a team who's got such a balanced lineup at forward.
Yeah.
Maybe putting Sobotka on that line would help out.
I feel very balanced with what I see in the Sabres lineup. We know what we're going to get out of Jack's line. He's going to garner and play against one of the top lines, most likely Philip Deneau, Tatar, and Gallagher. Mm-hmm. Then you have a Jeff Skinner, Johansson, and Sobotka. Sobotka's on that line to add a little bit more defensive presence to that line. And they're going to garner a big load. They might be playing against the, you know, the Drouin, the Armia, and the Kotkaniemi, right? Then you have a Gergensen line. The Gergensen line and Larson and Oposo lines played very well in their time this year. They're probably going to garner a big job tonight in trying to shut down Max Domi, Nick Suzuki, and Finn Laukkanen.
Artturi Laukkanen.
Now you have the Mittelstadt, Rodriguez, and VC line that are going to be playing against the other team's fourth line, which is Nate Thompson, Jordan Wheel, and Paulie Byron. I mean, this works well for the Sabres. We have last change. We will be putting certain guys out against certain players, and for the first time in a long time, I like what we have in our lineup to be able to match other teams' lines.
Let's talk goaltending. I don't think Linus Allmark he played exceptionally well, so he doesn't deserve to be
pulled out. Well, I'm not going to say exceptionally well. I think he played well.
You know, Marty, if you were the goalie, if you were Allmark, and you heard media guys say that you played exceptionally well, wouldn't you be like, man, that's pretty awesome that they recognized how well I played in the loss?
No, because I would say, you know what, I was good, but
first,
I didn't play exceptionally. He was good.
Well is winning the game and stealing it. That's exceptionally well.
No, not only
he
that.
He played well.
Because Rolf Krueger mentions his name in the post-game
address. He said he got him a point.
Two or three times. I think that's it's pretty exceptional.
So what are you saying? You
well, no,
back
I guess I didn't want to argue. My wording on that.
Was there moments in the game where you thought,
there were a couple maybe uncontrolled rebounds that I thought maybe he might have been able to have, but I mean, I think that's really nitpicking because I mean, when you play the game like we have at that level, you can nitpick literally a line change. You can nitpick a guy skating off the ice slowly. I mean, you can nitpick anything. My point is that will we see him tonight? Because I thought he played well. No, we expect Hutton.
I'm gonna shut that down. I'm expecting Carter Hutton. I think that in the early going here, it may go two Hutton, one Allmark, two Hutton, one Allmark, two Hutton, two Allmark. Like, I think that Linus played well in preseason, played a good game, a great game. I wouldn't say exceptionally well, but a great game against Columbus. But he still has a lot to prove. He has a lot to prove with consistency. When he started playing more games last season, the consistency, the control, the structure went completely in the trash, in the garbage.
And understandable, I think, right? He's a young guy.
Understandable, but he has to.
In the NHL, and now he needs to go out and earn respect.
He has to go out and prove that he can do it.
Respect in his first game, though?
I think he earned that. He'll get a start, but not tonight.
Okay.
There's a game Friday. There's a game Monday. Then they go on the road in the West Coast. There's a back-to-back there. I think before Carter Hutton's not going out to play four or five games in a row right now before Allmark gets another game. Now, if Allmark goes out in Columbus and gives up five goals on 20 shots and looks awful, now you're thinking, okay, well, let's see how Hutton plays the next few games before thinking of putting Allmark back in. But now, you know, if it's not Friday at home, maybe it's Monday afternoon at home. Maybe it's the first game of the road trip because there's a back-to-back. But he's going to earn himself a start within the next three games, not within the next 10 games. And I think that's what he did to himself.
So we play today. We play Friday. And we play Monday.
Yeah.
Allmark's going to play one of those three.
One of the three. And then they go on the road where they go back-to-back Wednesday, Thursday, and then they play Saturday night, and it's all in the West Coast. So, again, that sets up for Hutton getting two of those games and Allmark getting one.
I have a good question for you then, if we're going to sit there and talk about the goaltenders. What are your thoughts on Keith Kincaid? Because I think that Keith Kincaid, the backup from Montreal, is playing tonight.
Well, that's the word in Montreal, is that Claude Julien said that Kincaid was going to play one of the next three games that they have. They play tonight here in Buffalo. They play at home to Detroit, their home opener. The Canadiens have not played at home yet. And then they also play Saturday night against the St. Louis Blues, the defending cup champions. So what game out of the three is the one
I would play my goaltender in?
That you would play your backup goalie?
St. Louis.
Yeah, you're weird like that.
I'd play him against St. Louis.
I would want
my best players, my best guys that are going to give me a chance to win, especially playing against my division rivals.
You know what? Here's the thing. They also play in St. Louis next week. So I think you play Price at home on a Saturday night and you play Kincaid on the road against St. Louis. That may be, in my mind, makes more sense. I think it would be Kincaid tonight for Montreal, Price tomorrow at home, Price at home Saturday night. You have to consider the Montreal market, the fans. You know, their home opener, they want to see Carey Price. They don't want to see, hey, we have Keith Kincaid for the home opener tomorrow.
And I would put Carey Price in against Detroit.
But you also know Saturday night is sacred in Montreal. At home, at the Bell Center. People are showing up.
They want to see $400 a ticket, Rev, to see Kincaid. No offense, Kincaid. We know you're listening in the locker room.
Yeah, it's on right there.
For sure it's on. But we just saw these guys when we walked in. They look like high school kids. Every single one of them. The size of like a grade 9 class.
Well, they have some small players. When you look at the Montreal Canadiens, they have Domi.
Where are they on the size chart, JJ?
They have, let's see in their size, guys that are under 6 foot.
Gallagher,
you
Domi.
Have Gallagher at 5'9".
What is it, JJ?
197 average weight.
Average weight, 197.
Average height is the lowest in the league,
72.3 inches, so that's 6 inches.
Six feet.
6 feet is what
so
I meant.
So Domi,
6 inches.
Gallagher, Petey. Gallagher, Gallagher's 5'9". Domi's 5'10". Suzuki's 5'11". You got Nick Cousin, who's not playing, 5'11". Paul Byron, 6'9". Jordan Will, 5'9".
Let's rewind that I thought I heard you say 6'9".
5'9".
That's right.
Jordan Will, 5'10". Victor Mete, top pair defense with Shea Weber, is 5'9". And Thomas Tatar is 5'10". They've got on their roster 8 players under 6 foot right now.
I couldn't tell you which little guy that was that we saw then, Riv, as they got a lot of them. They're good.
If he
though.
Looked young,
They're
though, that could be though. Nick Suzuki. Like, he looks very young.
Paulie Byron. Paulie Byron was here in Buffalo. He was drafted here.
Oh,
he,
you took like, away one of my this or that.
He would, was like, he's the size of that light pole right there when he first came here.
I remember them saying that his body fat was something like, I don't know how he's surviving.
He was in the meeting and we walked in. I thought he was like, you know, like, he was a kid that knew somebody.
Picking
we walked
up the towels.
Over, we were like, do you want an autograph or something, buddy?
I think he weighed in. I am not, and this, and we'd have to go back, way back. But I think he weighed in at like 143 pounds or something like that. It was something like, and like you saw him take a shirt off, and I'm like, I don't think you should be going on the ice, bud. You're going to get yourself hurt. But the problem is, the thing that we didn't realize, he's probably one of the fastest guys in the NHL. He can absolutely fly.
Do you think the fans remember that Joel Armia and Paulie Byron were drafted by the Buffalo Sabres?
Well, they probably remember Joel Armia because he was involved in the Kane and
it was Joel Armia, and then it became Joel.
Yeah, yogging.
Yogging. But anyway, do you think people remember they were drafted? Because I knew Armia was, but I didn't remember Paul Byron was drafted
by
the Sabres.
Was Joel Armia not a first-round draft pick?
Yep.
Yeah.
He was a first-round pick.
And we just kind of – he was one of the ones that we just started giving away for –
No, I remember him here. I remember he was in Roch. You know what it was? Very similar to like a Nylander. Like I feel like he was put in the minors too young. Like just force fed into the roster, and you know
he was 16th overall.
Yeah,
in 2011, 16th overall. Mm-hmm. So that is he's only 26 years old. Like you think of Joel Armia. You know, that has had a lot of miles right now. He's moved to organization, but he did really well in Winnipeg, and that's where he ended up in Montreal. But he's only 26 years old.
Yeah, he played in Rochester, you know, at a young age. And
what year was that?
13, 14. So, I mean, he might have been 20. Maybe he just wasn't panning out. He might not have been as young as I thought, but he came over from wherever the hell that is, Asat Pori. You ever heard of that? Asat Pori? I can't make this up. Assat Pori.
Yep.
Is that where is that?
SM Liga.
SM Liga. That's
that's
Finnish
league.
Finnish league. Yeah. Yeah, you got to figure that out, Petey.
Okay. All right.
See, there's a. I got a picture of him playing.
Instigators live from the Finnish Elite League. We'll be right back. speaking of Finnish Elite League, JR's coming on next. It has nothing to do with JR, but maybe what did he? He must have gone over and played during the lockout at some point. We'll ask him. Probably won't ask him about that, but there's a lot going on around the league that we will ask him about. He was on last night on NBCSN. Jeremy Roenick coming up next year, Wednesdays at 10:30.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
With more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
JR, I want to plan a Sega tournament for charity here in Buffalo. If I were to do that and we could scrounge up the cash, would you fly in?
Absolutely, I would fly in.
Okay. We're going to – I mean, it won't be – it'll probably be toward the end of the year, but this is something we got to do. And, I mean, if you're going to do something like that –
Make sure it's on a Friday or Saturday where we don't do two games with NBC. That'd be great.
So maybe we have to wait till the end of the year. But all right, just wanted to know if you'd come in because you know we got the planning committee in order, so we'll have to figure it out. Speaking of NBCSN, JR is on there. Are you on tonight? Because I heard you last night on the NHL Live right before shredding Florida's power play. So are you on tonight?
I am on tonight. We have a doubleheader tonight too. So which will be fun. We got the Flyers and the Devils, and then we go cross country, do Kings and Canucks. So we got two tonight. And yes, I did shred a team that needed and deserved to be shredded. And if you would have watched that game last night,
you got to be careful because Riv's nephew plays for Florida.
He scored last night.
He scored, I know.
So beautiful. Mackenzie Weegar scored last night. Although, you know what? If I'd been you, JR, I would have shredded Bobrovsky too.
Listen, I will tell you this: Weegar is far, far from the problem in Florida. At least the kid works hard and does what he's supposed to do. But we can talk
right-handed
about that.
Right-handed shot, number 52.
Yeah.
Punched out Billy Byron last year.
Listen, he goes right to the heavy spaces, right to the dangerous and places that we don't like to go to. So the kid's got guts. So, but he's not the problem up there. We can talk about that at the end of the show.
What is the you were doing the Nashville San Jose game too? What is the problem in San Jose?
Wow, I think there's been so much change there. You finally get Evander Kane back. He's not going to be at the top of his game, although he did look okay last night. You know, this is a team that's relying on a lot of young guys to pick up some scoring slack that they lost with Joe Pavelski. And I think as a captain, when you lose a 30-35 goal scorer and want the heartbeat of your team, I think a big piece of your identity is lost. Now, Donskoy was a good player. Nyquist was a good player. Sorensen, who's hurt, also is a good player. And you have guys that are just not finding their way yet. Hurdle has no points. Timo Meier, who signed the contract in the offseason, which a lot of people, you know, lifted their eye at, who's supposed to be a goal scorer, 0 points. You know, that's for some reason, I think a lack of confidence on that team that somebody's waiting for somebody else to step to the plate and do it. I think they'll be okay. There were points last night where they dominated the Nashville Predators last night, but they're making too many mental mistakes, which they did last night that ended up in the back of their net, and they can't afford to do that these days.
Well, they signed the answer yesterday. They signed him.
Yeah, you know, I actually really, and if you watch my our show, you know that I actually really like that signing. I think that's a class move by the team. I think Patrick Marleau can still score goals. He can still skate. And he can be another guy in that locker room that some of these young kids will look up to, will look for leadership. He can mentor them. And listen, I've had my beef with Patrick Marleau, not to say that I like the guy, but I like the signing because what he can do for that city, energy-wise. I also like the fact that, listen, he's a Hall of Famer. You can't get away from the fact that he will be in the Hall of Fame, and nobody's picked him up late in his career. I mean, he can still play the game. You don't want to go out of your career, especially a career like Patrick Marleau's, not being able to get a job, not retiring the proper way, and getting the respect that you deserve. And I think, you know, San Jose is giving him that opportunity to do that. And, you know, I was in the same position in 2007. I really like the move bringing Patrick Marleau back. It could be the jolt that they need, but it's good for Patrick and his career. And I think the city will really love it. So, you know, good for Doug Wilson for doing it.
Lucic for James Neal in the offseason. And I guess I'll lead this one with asking you, did you ever have a four-goal night?
I had 2 four-goal nights, yes. 2. I think I had one in Buffalo. I had one in Buffalo and one in New York and the Islanders, I believe. I know the Islanders, but I think the other one might have been Buffalo. But, you had four goals for for Neo, and you had 4 punches for Lucic. Which one would you rather have? That's a crazy trade with turning out right now. It's crazy.
So
right?
Remember, JR, remember when Jonathan Chichu played with Big Jumbo Joe and scored like 50,
yeah.
And Glenn Murray's played with Jumbo Joe in Boston and scored a ton of goals. Do you think that Lucic is going to be the same situation we're playing with McDavid will allow him to maybe get 35, 40 goals this year because he's playing with such a great player?
Well, remember, I don't know if you remember back in the day, but Rob Brown, who couldn't skate worth a lick, played with Mario and scored 50. Couldn't skate a lick. there's no question in my mind that you get put on the right line with the right players, and especially in a power play. Look at James Neal's second goal last night, okay? Or third goal. He's in front of the net. He doesn't even see the puck coming. He just puts his stick on the ice, and Draisaitl puts the puck right on his stick. He doesn't even know it's coming. It goes in the net. He looks at it. It looks like he knew what he was doing. He had no idea that thing was coming. So to answer your question, James Neal will probably get 15 or 20 more than he would have just because he's playing on the power play with Draisaitl and McDavid.
What happened to the old expect the unexpected? I thought James Neal goes hard to the net with his stick down because that's what he was taught.
That was the unexpected. He didn't expect to come in.
How many goals do you think James Neal is going to end up with?
I bet you he ends up with 24, 25 goals this year.
Yep. This is his NHL career. 24, 27, 22, 40. He had 21 in 40 games. 27, 23, 31, 23, 25. He signs a big ticket deal for Calgary. 7 goals in 63 games. The rest were healthy scratch. He's got six goals this year in 3 games. By playing
with
Leon Draisaitl and McDavid, this guy could have a huge year.
He can shoot the puck as well as anybody, and he has a very deceptive release, which I think is tough for goaltenders, and he loves to shoot the puck. He definitely could, but he is a 20-goal scorer, 20, 30-goal scorer, just history-wise. And it goes to show you that a coach can really ruin your year by the way he treats you, talks to you, who he plays you with. That was the situation in Calgary, and he hated it. He did not want to play there. He did not want to play for the coach. He was miserable, and his play showed it. So, I like James Neal. I hope he has a great year, and I think Edmonton needs it because they need to get back to the playoffs also.
Listen, JR, Sabres are playing the Canadiens tonight. I mean, there's a lot I'd want to ask you about that, but with your personality and the way you played, I don't even want to name the two teams. Did you see Doughty and Tkachuk last night? Is that not some of the greatest performances in hockey? Just two guys before the game carrying it over from last year. And I think what makes it great is that these guys are stars. It's not like you have 5 minutes a night Ryan Reeves versus 30-goal scorer Evander Kane. You got Tkachuk, who's one of the best players on Calgary, and you got Doughty, who's one of the best defensemen in the league, and the two guys are bringing super fire to the game. It's not two fourth-line guys going out there just, you know, trying to be the entertainment committee.
So that's what separates the stars from the non-stars. And that, you know, that's old-school hockey at its best, where – you don't sit around and pout and cry and complain about what someone's saying about you, what somebody thinks about you, like a lot of the millennials do these days. They tie up their boots, they tie them tight, and they go after it, and they don't make excuses. They make it a show, and they make sure that they're accountable. And I absolutely loved that game last night. Matthew Tkachuk's tying it with 30 seconds left, 2 goals and assists for him, and Doughty getting booed every time he touched the puck. And he buries the winner, and then he gives the quiet sign, you know, all that stuff, and he gives it back to the fans. That's being a downright superstar and being able to gut it out and you know, not be a baby, and that was just fantastic hockey. I loved it.
Which one had the better soundbite? The Doughty, if he wants to give me a compliment, I'll give him a compliment if he gives me one, or the Tkachuk, it's not personal, it's about team. Which one had the better soundbite?
I like the Doughty soundbite. I'll give him a compliment if he gives me one. That's good. Hey, listen, you know, Matthew Tkachuk is a very very respectful, very very team-oriented guy. And if he would have said something that is not, you know, his dad would beat the crap out of him. So, you know,
But I don't know if I want to get into a media shouting match with Drew Doughty. He seems like a ruthless, ruthless guy. I mean, go ahead.
He will never, ever, ever lose in a race. That is for sure. In a verbal race. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I wouldn't want that either.
Yeah. No, I think we need more of it. I think we need a lot more of it. What were you going to say, Marty?
No, I was going
to... Hey, listen, maybe some of these guys around the league see that if you yap and you get involved, you get initiated into certain things, it drags you into a game and makes you more focused. And maybe more guys will do that.
I think that fires Jeff Skinner up. I think he gets involved verbally with guys during games, and I think it fires him up. I think he likes to chat. I don't know what he says.
How about the goal he scored the other day? Just chasing the kid down from behind, picks up the stick, and scores a goal. I thought that was awesome.
Selke Trophy.
But the best thing, JR, the game here in Buffalo against New Jersey, the Sabres scored a power play goal where Skinner got interfered in the neutral zone. The Sabres scored the goal, and Skinner is in the neutral zone still yelling at the referee because he was upset that he got interfered with. It was comical to watch, but that's how he does things. That's how he gets himself fired up. It was so funny. I have to send you the clip. You'll die when you see it.
There's no question. But I was way more engaged in the game when I was complaining and I was mouthy and I was yelling at people. And I did that every single game, whether it was other players, whether it was the referees, or whether it was, you know, guys on my own team. Always got me engaged in the game. I just sitting around and hiding and being out of sight and not being heard, I think, is the worst way to get engaged in a hockey game.
Yeah, kind of like Craig during this interview, not even heard.
Well, I was, if you want me to jump into this, I'll light a flame. Penguins, is their flame going out in Pittsburgh or what? You know, you've got Denny Malkin go down with an injury, indefinite, and then they have abysmal team in Winnipeg go in and spank them 4-1 with their minor league defense corps. What's going on in Pittsburgh? Are they done or what?
Yes. Yes, I think they're. I think with the injuries, I think with the it's just a lack of ability, cap space to get players. I think their 13-year run is going to be at their end. I think Crosby's getting a little tired of carrying a team. I love him. I think he's great, but I think they're going to be done this year. Tell you the truth.
Well, go look at Crosby's contract and tell me if you think he finishes that thing out. I'm going to go out on a limb and say no, but curious to know your thoughts next Wednesday. Awesome as usual, JR. Have fun on the broadcast tonight, and we'll touch base next week.
Sounds good, boys. All right, talk to you later.
Thank you very much, Jeremy Roenick, every Wednesday right here on The Instigators with the guys. And as you can hear, if you haven't heard him before, always entertaining and got some great stories. Jeremy Roenick, Wednesdays at 10:30, Instigators live from KeyBank Center. Sabres, Canadians tonight. What time, Marty?
7:30. No, 6:30 pregame. Why are you yelling 7:30? It's not 6:30 pregame.
Okay, we'll be right back. Sorry for yelling. 7:30 game.
Resorts and casinos. Nothing comes close.
All right. I was being a jerk at the end of the segment. The game is at 7. Pre-game show's at 6:30. Time to get serious around here. Greg Pristol, thanks for the reminder this morning to Riv about being at the KeyBank Center and Montreal.
Nice to know that a lot of people care about you, you know?
Did anyone else from inside our group message? It was agreed, and I got in the car this morning as I was leaving Marty, and I said, I should text Craig and remind him. And the first thing I heard was, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
Are you serious?
No, he
That's
means
sweet,
like
at the end of the show yesterday.
It was me in a French voice in his head.
Gotcha.
I thought about it, too, when I got in the car this morning. Maybe I should text Rivs, like, something more in the sense of change of plans. We're at the studio. Change of plan. We're in studio today, Revs, to see if he'd believe me. But no, I didn't want to do that.
He was headed there anyway. Did you go?
No.
Okay. Well, buy, sell, trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Will E-Rod go on the power play tonight? Buy, sell, trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports where you can buy, sell, trade new and used sports equipment on McKinley Parkway. E-Rod will see sometime on the power play tonight. PP1, PP2, who knows? Power play 3. I'm going to buy this, gentlemen. I'm going to buy this.
I'm going to buy this, too. And then the only reason is I think he's such a utility player. He can play penalty kill. He can play power play. He can play top 6. He can play bottom 6. But I think Marcus Johansson made a comment last game that it's not easy being on the second power play because you usually don't have offensive zone starts, usually changing when the puck is going back to your own end. But I think Erod's going to see some power play time, yes.
I'm going to disagree with this. I think that if Connor Sheary is going to come out, where's Casey Mittelstadt playing right now on the second power play?
He's half wall and goal line. Him and Johansson rotate.
Okay, so he's basically a net front presence guy.
Well, depending on who has the puck. If not, it's Johansson that's a net front guy.
Okay, so I would think that Mittelstadt might kind of move up to the being the middle guy where Connor Sheary was,
yep.
And you're going to put Jimmy Vesey in front of the net now as a net front presence guy just to see if they can garner any speed off that. So I think that's what they're going to do. I think Jimmy Vesey, in order to try and get him going a little bit, I think you got to throw him some cookies to see if he can add a little something to that second power play.
Erod also played the flank. And right now you have Risto and Colin Miller playing on the power play. But yep. If you wanted to go four forwards and a D, you could have...
You're definitely not doing that because you're not taking Miller off there.
I'm just making a comment here.
You very could, aggressive here today.
You could...
It's game day, right? Is that
you
what you're doing?
You could put Erod the on mindset? The left flank for the one-timer, and you could just have Risto. And
so you're going to take Miller off there, who shoots the puck 110 miles an hour for Erod's shot.
You always talk about having options on both sides, not just have Jack Eichel on one side that all the play goes through him. If Marcus Johansson's on the one side, we all know that that's where the puck's going to go. It's not going to go to Risto or Miller on the other side, but if you have Erod there, you have both sides of the ice to work on. I'm making a suggestion here.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's set in stone.
Here's
I'm just making a suggestion.
We have the number one power play in the league right now, and that's not just from the first power play. The second power play unit has scored also, and they actually look very good when they've been out there. I wouldn't want to change a whole lot on that power play, especially the umbrella. Ristolainen's your top. You have Johansson on this one side, and you have a one-timer with Miller on the other. I like that. The other two guys are interchangeable, as far as I'm concerned. And to try Jimmy Vesey in front of that net, who's a 6'3" big body who can screen the goaltender, that's what I would try.
Let's see if they're right. 7 o'clock puck drop tonight. 6:30 pregame show on MSG. You can also catch pregame show on WGR 550. That starts at normally 6 o'clock. We're the Instigators. We'll be back. Hour number two coming up. Find out. We're gonna do the height and weights of these teams. Who's the biggest team in the NHL? Who's the smallest? And where do the Sabres fall when it comes to sizing up your opponents? Instigators game day from the KeyBank Center. Again, 7 o'clock puck drop. We'll be right back.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.